of wrought iron, scalloped to look like lace. Standing on the street and tilting back her head, Ellen's eyes flowed upwards into the sky. Inside, the rooms were ordered, the furniture polished and shining. Each room had been decorated with a predominant colour. The hallway red, the drawing room light blue, the dining room green. The large windows and many mirrors threw dazzling light around the upper floors. The ground level was darker and damp, but she would have no reason to go there. Unlike at her boarding school, where the few servants scurried non-stop from basement to first floor to second floor, and where the pupils did much of the household chores, dusting, sweeping, making beds. In Dr. Stokes' house, a different servant appeared for every required task, moving as if oiled, their eyes lowered. A stout manservant opened the front door. A young footman shouldered away her trunk. A thin, pock-faced girl took her bonnet and travelling coat. Mrs. Stokes, Louise, showed her to the room where she was to sleep. The single window faced west and would let in the evening sun. Leaf-green striped wallpaper, a small bed of dark wood, white counterpane and pillows. A rug beside the bed in dark blue and gold. Louise tapped on it with her foot, showing her leather slipper.
"Persian," she said.
"Very pretty, ma'am," Ellen said, blinking at its dazzling pattern.
"Come, have tea."
In the drawing room, Dr. Stokes stood by the mantelpiece. The manservant was setting out a silver teapot and china cups.
"Alas, I cannot stay, Miss Hutchins. I must leave you in my wife's hands."
His voice held a practiced kindness, gentle authority. Despite his long, rather morose countenance, he was fresh-faced, his eyes bright behind heavy lids like a woman's. His hair receded over a high forehead. He wore a coat of black-brown, sober cloth, with plain silver buttons. When, as a little girl, she'd met him years before, she'd marvelled at his boots, how long and shiny they'd been, and his hand, sinewy and smooth, depositing in her own little paw a thumb-sized piece of sugar. She saved the nugget for days, licking it furtively until it disappeared, to her confusion and sorrow. She'd thought him old. In fact, he must have been in his prime, for he now looked to be in the 40s. He glanced at his wife as though asking her permission to go.
"We will be quite all right, husband," Louise said.
She sat down on a pale yellow sofa.
"Miss Hutchins and I will become acquainted."
He closed the door behind them as though afraid of breaking something. Louise handed a teacup across.
"Do you hear from your brother Emmanuel regularly?"
She had a serene expression, as though she eked out the movements of her face. Younger than Dr. Stokes, red hair under her white cap, blue-green eyes like chinks of glass. So far she had been attentive, gracious, rigidly polite, if unsmiling. She was dressed in dark blue silk. A muslin shawl covered her bosom. Ellen perched on the edge of a chair, her back straight.
"He's busy in London, practicing law." "When did you see him last?"
She feared her clumsy fingers might snap off the teacup's pretty, fine handle.
"Some years ago," she said.
He'd visited her in school. She'd been completely overawed by his gruff manner and hadn't managed more than a few stuttered words. He patted her head, called her by her childhood pet name, Ellie.
"How many siblings do you have? My husband couldn't recall."
4 brothers, Emmanuel, Arthur, Samuel, Jack."
"Which one lives with your mother in Cork?"
"Jack," she said. "He's incapacitated due to an accident."
"You have no sister, then?"
"Catherine died when I was 4.
"Oh, she was what age?"
24. "In her prime. A shame."